Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We get to finally talk about The Last of Us as the season one ended this Sunday. And I miss my HBO Sunday nights already. But first, TV news. I'll start us off. One of the things I'm the most excited about is that we have a release date for I Think You Should Leave Season 3, which is May 30th. Can't wait. So happy.
So excited. I don't even have... It's funny because, like, there wasn't a trailer drop right yet. It's just, like,
no, pictures, I don't think so.
And the date. Okay. Because I was like, it's always fun to see who's going to be in the episodes. That'll remain a mystery.
That's true. For a while. Even think I realized the pictures are from the new season. I was thinking the pictures were just like even old pictures, but they are definitely new because Tim Robinson looks a little bit older and weirdly more hot.
It's a weird attraction, but it's always there.
It is always there. Can't ignore it.
Well, another new season of a show we love that's dropping is The Bear, and season 2 will premiere in June. I haven't seen a specific day yet, but June.
Yeah, I only have June 2. I got really excited during the Oscars because they were like showing a preview, but it was basically just for the first season, I think.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I had it muted, so they may have said like in preparation for the new season in June. Because I feel like I saw the news at like kind of the same time, but I don't know. Either way, can't wait. They announced that my new favorite show, Full Swing, the golf show on Netflix, is going to be coming back for a season 2. And I'm excited. I loved it. I've been talking about it like so much, and I probably sound like an idiot still trying to talk about golf with people who love golf, but I don't really care.
It's I'm fun. Sure you don't. Watching a show like Thank that, you. Like, turns you into an expert, you know, on any subject.
It's true. It's the beginning stages, I would think.
And plenty of idiots play golf, so you're smart. Great, so there you go.
Great point.
Another season date announcement. The final season of Barry drops April 16th. And did you watch that trailer?
I just watched the trailer before we recorded.
It looks good. Very,
it
like...
It looks so good.
Switching things up a lot, which I really, really like when seasons do that of great shows. So, can't wait.
And still very dark. It looked darker than ever, honestly. Shrinking on Apple got renewed for season 2. I've heard many good things of that show. We haven't watched it yet, but...
Same and same. Apple TV hasn't really let me down yet. Ted Lasso, obviously, mixed feelings on Ted Lasso. Like, I think we all kind of have, but that it's still a good show.
Yeah, I agree.
They do quality stuff. This one, it's funny because I feel like people were making a big deal of it, but it's not a big deal to me because I have almost every single streaming service. So I was like, why is everyone overreacting about New Girl leaving Netflix and going to Hulu? But they were like asking Jake Johnson about it, like on red carpets. Like, that is so weird.
I saw that. And like, even Jake Johnson was like, isn't it going to Hulu? Like,
yes.
Even he's confused. And
so weird. I guess some people out there literally have like, they chose Netflix and they don't have other things, you know?
Yeah, that is true. I posted the Oscar Best Pictures and Where to Find Them graphic that I made for Girl Meets Show's Instagram on my personal feed. And I had someone respond and was like, I'm just shocked that you have this many streaming services. And I was like, well, A, I didn't say I had all of these, but B, yes, I do have all of these. And I thought that was normal.
And yeah, like, jealous much? And I was jealous like, that I'm rich?
Just be resourceful. I don't pay for any of them myself.
Yeah, that's so true. I pay for Well, which ones do you have your own account?
It's confusing because I have my own account for most of them because I usually sign my family up with my own email.
Oh. But it's not your payment method.
It is not to my own credit card.
That's who's going to survive in the zombie apocalypse. People who are resourceful.
You're not wrong. There are mental games to be played and I can hang.
But what was their response? Sorry, I totally cut you off when you said their reply.
Their response was just like, because I was like, it's called mooching. And they were like, yeah, that's true. Like, I have my parents this and an ex-boyfriend's this and a this. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, don't call me out.
Jeez, act like you're some kind of freak.
For something. Yeah.
Well, over on Twitter, when I posted that, we got a happy reply that said thank you. So...
Okay, good.
It's because we have more niche following on Twitter, I think, that is more like-minded, and it's more of an echo chamber. Doesn't mean we love it any less. It's just, there's just an understanding there. Wow, yes, that's hilarious. Sure. Yeah, thanks to the power of streaming, I literally watched all of the nominees except Avatar, which I'd already seen in the theater, so.
Thank you.
Praise
to the internet.
Praise the streamers, yeah. So everyone should just stop crying, basically, and get Hulu to watch New Girl.
I agree.
I think that Netflix is kind of, if you have one, a lot of people, they have Netflix and that's what they have. And that's why Stranger Things gets streamed for hours.
I saw a trailer today. It was actually a sponsored ad. And I was like, this is one of the first sponsored ads that I feel like is like, you know, your audience. Because it's for a new FX/Hulu show starring Olivia Colman, titled Great Expectations. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, have we talked about this?
No, but I saw like a bunch of trailers for that during the Oscars yesterday.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And they showed Olivia Colman like in an attic in a wedding dress, and I was like, what is this, Great Expectations or something? My ninth grade English class skills really came into play. That's what I remember about that book. Thank you.
Because literally I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a book. And that's where, as far as I got on that thought. So thank you for confirming. I was like, wow, it looks like she's playing the same character from The Favourite. My other favorite movie. Looks good.
Yeah, it did look good.
And it's streaming on the 26th of this month.
Same day as Succession.
Oh, intense. Interesting choice.
A true Clash of the Titans right there. I actually think that is all of my news. Did I say it all?
You haven't said one thing I really thought you were going to say.
What is it?
Yellow Jackets. I didn't even watch the trailer, so I was expecting you to talk about it.
Oh, I guess I didn't bookmark it. I was just so excited that I didn't even bookmark it.
Makes sense.
I did like an action on it, but it was sending it to you. It was not sending it to my own bookmarks for the pod.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate.
So my thumbs were like, well, you did something.
It was more urgent for me to know.
It really, really was. So now will you please share with the class?
You share with the class. I didn't watch the trailer, so I still haven't even seen it.
Okay, yes. Yellow Jackets dropped their full trailer. And the trailer was good, but the most important part was that there was someone who looked suspiciously like our close personal friend, John P. Reynolds, a.k.a. Drew from Search Party, a.k.a. We always forget he's also in Stranger Things as like the bozo cop. And he seems like he's playing another bozo cop in Yellow Jackets. And very excited about it. I just love to see anyone from Search Party succeed. And he shows up in hit shows. That's kind of amazing.
He really does. He has a good IMDb. It's one of those things where it's like, if he's in it, I'm going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And, or it's like, I love this show and he's randomly in it.
Yes. And I know that like, he could be playing the most serious murderous character in the world. And I would just laugh at every line that he says just because he's just so, he's so funny. He's a funny, weird person. Love him.
Very, very funny. My last piece of news is just that we have a release date of that new HBO Max series, Love and Death, starring Elizabeth Olsen and Argyle Landry, that I always forget his real name, even though I love him.
Plummins.
Especially when I'm on the speaking on this podcast and recording and in front of Jordan, I'm always embarrassing myself.
Jesse Plummins. Don't be embarrassed.
Oh, I'm not.
It's like a curse.
I've moved on. I've made that mistake so many times. I can't. It's true. But yeah, it's starting on April 27th, and it's from the same executive producers as Big Little Lies and The Undoing. And it just, it looks good. It's probably one of the things I'm the most excited about right now.
Isn't she, is that the one that's like the same story that Jessica Biel did? The murder story?
Oh, I don't know. But that wouldn't be surprised because in the picture she is wet and has blood on her hands. Because
I know that there's like a duplicate, it's the same true crime story but a different channel. It's the one that Jessica Biel and Melanie Lynskey were in one together. And Jessica Biel has like really curly hair or something.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't watch that. That was on Showtime.
It is the same story. Candy Montgomery. Remember that TV show Candy or whatever?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
It's the same murder.
Interesting.
Yeah. But this one sounds like it'll be the better one. Even though Melanie Lynskey, you know?
Yeah. But that's anyway. Really wild.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to watch both.
And compare.
To compare.
I'd be down for that.
Would you like to give the listeners a quick overview of The Last of Us?
Yes, I would love to. I mean, basically, it is the world is in the apocalypse. It's post-apocalypse, and it was a zombie apocalypse, zombie style. And basically, we're following Pedro Pascal's character, Joel, as he gets forced to protect this 14-year-old girl named Ellie as they have to basically travel across the country, like on a mission, basically.
Perfect. Flawless.
Wow, thanks.
So before we get to that, for our top three, we are naming top three TV characters that we would like to be with us in a zombie apocalypse so that they could protect us and help us. Because me personally, I would be 0% interested in living through that. I would be like, take me right now. I would rather just die. So I would definitely need some people if I were gonna have any sort of chance of staying alive. You go first.
Same. Okay. And I was thinking like, I just don't really know how useful I would be in the apocalypse. Like, I guess under the circumstances, maybe you like develop certain skills, but like, I wouldn't say I'm good at, I don't have survival skills. I can't fight. So I would need people that can do those types of things. I would kind of be like, maybe trying to boost morale. I could maybe try and help keep it light. I would be basically no other help. And this one, this is a little bit cheating, but I think that this character would be good in the apocalypse. And I said Ron Swanson, who is Nick Offerman, plays a very iconic role in The Last of Us. And that character is also great at the survival aspects of things. But I also legit think that Ron Swanson could really last a very long time in an apocalypse.
For sure. And it's funny because his character in The Last of Us is basically Ron Swanson but gay.
Yeah. And like maybe more like conspiracy theory driven.
Yeah.
It seems like towards the beginning, like at the beginning of his plot line a little bit. But I don't know. I don't think that's like a far leap for Ron if times were really tough.
That's very true.
But yeah, he can like hunt and stuff.
It is cheating a little bit, but I'll take it.
Okay, thanks.
And because you said that, mine feels a little bit cheating too. So now we can be even because I said Jeevan from Station 11.
I mean, he's proven himself.
He's proven himself. He is a survivor. And I think he could definitely keep me alive.
He definitely could.
And he's hot.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, if needed, you like then you have someone to procreate with.
Yes.
My second one. Well, first I want to tell you the first thing I thought of, especially because I was scrolling through TV Time and it's a recent show I've been watching. And I was like, wow, it would be funny to say The Mandalorian.
I actually have The Mandalorian on my list. Yes! And decided to switch him out for Jeevan just because The Mandalorian felt even more too
that was like an outright cheat because it's like we just have to have Pedro on our side because I don't think that anyone on my list is better than actually having Joel. I think he's like the ultimate protector, love him. So yeah, but we'll get into it. But my real number two is Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Thank you. I just feel like very safe with her. And you just, all these people are pretty serious, actually. I'll do the heavy lifting of like, I'll be Ellie with my joke book. I'll be trying to tell you diarrhea puns and whatnot. And maybe I can get all three people, now that I'm looking at my list, are not the smiliest bunch. But I would feel very safe and they're all very trustworthy, you know? So like, that's really what matters. And I think that they all have like hearts of gold. And in the apocalypse, those are traits that I would be looking for my like posse or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Joel is perfect because he's like not only so resourceful and protecting and all that, but he's also like okay to be around.
Yeah.
You have to get to know him a little bit at least, but like, he is still at least fun to be around. And
yeah,
it's pretty hard to find those characters elsewhere.
I do think that that is, he and Mayor of Easttown actually kind of share that in a way. Like, she's very serious.
Yeah, that's true.
She's not jokey, but like, it seems like once upon a time she was, and he was too.
Mm-hmm.
And, but once you like crack her open and him, like they're just great. They're great people and they have it in them to have a little fun. But times are tough, you know?
Okay, my other one is Arya Stark. She's proven herself genius to also be a zombie slayer.
Yes.
A White Walker slayer.
Wow. That's the best answer, not gonna lie.
Is basically an Ellie twin.
It's true. It is so funny too, because it's like, I mean, Bella Ramsey was also in Game of Thrones. Like, there's just so much.
Hey, yeah.
There's so many little things that remind me of these other amazing shows. It's very fun.
It's wild.
My last one, this is definitely along the lines of, oh, also I could procreate with him. I said Cassian Andor. It's like one step away from The Mandalorian. But he's also very same resourceful. Universe. Like, I feel like you had to pick people that, like, are very scrappy and in their shows like are not living at like the height of luxury or anything because like I don't know, you can't have like a wimp. Like, I'm gonna be the wimpiest person in our crew, so
yeah. And I'm aware of it.
Yes, I'm very self-aware about how much I need them and how little they need me. But I think Cassian is another great person to add.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Thank you.
Wow, what a great crew. You guys would survive. You'd make it to Salt Lake City for sure.
I agree. And I think yours would too.
Thank you.
And we'd all have, it would be a fun time too. It's about the friends you make along the way. It's kind of the message of the show.
That's a good point. I need to say my last person. And
oh, I thought Arya was. Wow. I got stuck on you. The Mandalorian. My bad.
I said Rip Wheeler from Yellowstone. He is the guy that basically just like takes care of business. And by that, I mean murders people. And so he has no problem with murder and is also like too protective that it's like toxic masculinity. But that's kind of what you need in a zombie situation. I think I could give up my feminism card for a little bit. if needed. There's my crew.
Wow. Your crew's so good that even after only two people, I knew you'd survive. And now you also have a strong murderer. You guys are set.
That's a compliment. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how we'd all get along. It's pretty random, but we'd survive. Our good friends of the pod, Movie Mavens, they also have a podcast, and we've been featured on their podcast a couple of times now. We actually got to go on their podcast a couple of weeks ago because they have been recapping each episode of The Last of Us week by week. So if you are wanting a more in-depth podcast that covers every episode, you should definitely go listen to their podcast, and you'll find us on episode 4, and we had a great time.
It was super fun. It was also, I mean, it's always fun to talk to them and have the discussion. Another thing that was extra fun about this is that one of their co-hosts, Annie, played the game, and so she could kind of bring in a lot of like kind of comparisons to what things go down in the game compared to the scenes and how spot on things were or what they changed. So it's very fun listening to their episodes. Highly recommend, especially ours.
Yes,
but
I agree,
all of them are good.
As far as The Last of Us goes overall, before we get into spoilers, how did you feel about this as someone who had a little bit of a pre-knowledge about the game?
Yes, that is true. I have watched years ago walkthroughs on YouTube of streamers playing the game. And I thought the show was so good. I loved it. And I feel like the story of it is so compelling, and that's like what kept me, like, my attention of even just watching someone play it like on YouTube was really exciting. And so, like, it's just such a compelling story and such good characters that it's like a no-brainer that the show's going to be amazing, I think. And I think it exceeded my expectations. I thought the acting was incredible. The emotional stakes every single episode were so high. And it was also really unique because, like, I don't think that I care that much about, like, a zombie story, really. And luckily, that's not what this really is at all. So it's just, like, zombies happen to be around, you know? But I think that, like, part of the conflict of the whole story in the game and the show is that, obviously, it's, like, the zombies are kind of the least of your worries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So as someone who went in basically blindly, what did you feel overall?
Yeah, I was completely blind. I only knew it was a game, and that's the extent of my knowledge. As someone who also wouldn't identify as a zombie girly, I think I watched The Walking Dead like a couple episodes in college because I had a crush on a guy who was watching it and like watched a couple episodes with him, but that was it. I wasn't hesitant to watch the show. I was excited to watch the show just because of the casting. I mean, props to them for casting this so well, because I really think that it really helped with the show and getting people to watch it. Because I think like zombie stuff can be kind of a device, like divide your audience. But I think because of the casting, it brought it into, made it this show that like literally everyone would watch. I saw that the finale got like more viewers than, was it Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon? It was House of the Dragon, I think, because
I think you're right.
House of the Dragon, it's like majority of people who are going to watch that are people who have already watched Game of Thrones. So it's like you're already kind of losing some audience members. So I found that was really interesting that The Last of Us did that. And I was just shocked at how much I love the show, because a lot of it is about like character development and relationships. And that is the stuff I love. And the show did a really good job at showing that in a very like fresh and interesting way. And I've been trying to like recommend it to like everyone because I feel like so many people are like, I don't do zombies. And I'm like, I don't either. Mm-hmm. I do think that you still have to be a little bit interested in like the idea. And maybe I'm a little bit more interested because it kind of started out as like a pandemic as opposed to like zombies. Because I have recommended it to some people and they were like not into it as they suspected. But most majority of people have been. And it's pretty rare to hear that someone doesn't like it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess when it comes to zombies, it's not like a zombie thing is not a deal breaker. There's plenty of things I like that happen to be zombie themed, I guess. I'm not sure what monster would be a deal breaker for me. But I feel like this was such a fresh take on it that like even if I had zero reference for the game at all, like you're saying, like the cast is so intriguing. I think in my notes, I think this might be my favorite Pedro that we've seen. And we've seen a lot of really good Pedro roles.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel is just like, I don't know. I just feel like he is him. Like, it was just so perfect. Bella Ramsey.
It's really hard to separate the two.
Yeah, it is. And I love, like, Bella Ramsey was amazing. Melanie Lynskey, obviously, we love her.
Mm-hmm. Murray Bartlett, Nick Offerman.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, a very iconic cast from all the shows that we already love. So, for Girl Meets Show, it was a pretty easy win, I would say.
Definitely.
On to spoilers. It's hard to not focus on the finale because I know that we just both watched it. It feels like we have to talk about that iconic Murray Bartlett and Nick Offerman episode 3. It was as good as the internet made it seem, I thought. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That was one where I was kind of bummed. I had to watch it like a day late or something. And so I kind of wish I had gone in completely blind and not seen like anything on the internet, but like people couldn't contain their excitement. So I understand. But yeah, it was great. It was very powerful.
Well, and I think that says a lot because it still affected you so much and was like held up to the expectations that were there even just after one day.
Totally. Other highlights, I was actually trying to think, I was like, if I had to pick like a favorite episode, because each episode had like a very distinct setting, because it's like, I mean, they're traveling across the country, and so it was kind of cool how like a couple of, like some settings would last a couple episodes, like the Melanie Lynskey parts in Kansas City, that like mm-hmm. lasted a couple, but I really liked how each one was kind of like its own new adventure. Like when you finally see Joel's brother again, like in their kind of Wyoming paradise. And even last week's episode, which was the episode 8, where the like cannibal cults like find Ellie and stuff. Like that episode was so disturbing, but it was also so exciting and well done and scary. And mm-hmm. like that was the scariest episode, and like I don't even remember if there was a single zombie in it, and it was just like evil people. But and then also like it's one of those things where like sometimes you're watching an action movie, and like I do not condone real world violence, but like in the moment, if someone's really evil, I'm like cheering if that person is like getting killed. Like if the good guy kills the bad guy, I'm excited. But then. So it's like they had me excited that Ellie won, but then she has to deal with the emotional trauma of now she just like went through this absolutely horrifying nightmare. And that was just kind of amazing that the show can like kind of do both, you know?
Yes. Like the show is very good at showcasing that like there are better people and worse people, but not necessarily like good and bad kind of thing. Like, good people can do bad things and like quote unquote bad, like murdering someone, but it's like it just like it makes you think a lot about like ethics. And I mean, not, I don't want to jump to the finale too much, but like the whole thing is like saving one person over saving the world, which would you choose?
Mm-hmm.
And it really is like such a big question that like I think is a really interesting thing to think about and discuss amongst people.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't think it's bad to jump kind of to the finale, because I do feel like you just said, the finale is kind of where they finally confront this message that kind of is hanging over the whole season almost, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
like, what is the point of living in an apocalypse almost? Like, why do we even keep trying? And kind of like life is so horrible for these people. Like, whether you're in a city that's run by the government or one that rebels took over, like, life sucks. But like, and like, every single person has dealt with some kind of horrifying trauma, and they probably still have more to come, but like, is it still worth it to like make deep connections with people? And like, at the very end, like, Joel's decision to say, I mean, we're safe here because this is spoiler land, and like, to save Ellie, she like, it's like, okay, so love has helped him survive, but it also could be humanity's downfall, basically. Like,
yes.
Like, it's just, I mean, those are huge questions. And like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, he's wrong and he's right, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, it's just, it's wild. And it's also, it's like, so that was a decision. And then he also makes the decision to lie to Ellie about it, you know? Like,
yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say, is that like, his love could also potentially hurt him, because if/when Ellie finds out about that,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you know what I was thinking? I made a connection today that like, it's really interesting. And maybe you can clarify this. Ellie has kind of immunity from like the zombies because her mom was bit while she was a baby, still attached with the umbilical cord, basically, right?
Yeah, I think so. And okay, something I need to double check, I can't confirm, I don't remember if that is in the game, and they didn't outrightly say we added this in like the after the episode featurette thing, mm-hmm. but that made sense to me. Like, I was okay, like, okay, I kind of, I accept, too. I like accept that explanation of why she survives, you know, because like, what are the chances that a pregnant woman literally gives birth and gets bitten, like, kind of all in the same moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. And with that, I mean, it's just, it's really interesting because, like, her mom, when she's, like, giving her away, she's kind of doing the same exact thing that Joel did, where it's, like, she has no, to her, I think she has to think that her baby is not going to survive / is going to turn into a zombie. But she still gives the baby up, the baby being Ellie, to her friend, and like, asks her to take care of Ellie, knowing that that could possibly actually hurt the group of people that they're with. I mean, it's really sad and scary to think of a baby like going rampage and like murdering people. But yeah, like,
but it could.
I would think that with all she had seen, that's what she assumed would happen, but still wanted to give it to them.
Yeah, like, she has no evidence that this baby won't turn into a zombie.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a very good point. I had not realized that it is kind of like, Ellie's whole life, there's been parental figures making these choices for her.
Yeah.
That's deep. I also want to shout out how amazing it was that the person they cast to play Ellie's mom is the actress who plays Ellie in the original video game. And it was shocking how alike the actresses look. I couldn't believe it. And like, I'd seen pictures of her before, but shook. Wow. It was
before I realized that that's who it was, I literally was like, I wrote in my notes, incredible casting of Ellie's mom, because I thought they just found someone that looked exactly like Ellie. And sure enough, she's actually Ellie in the game. I love that Joel and Ellie from the game got to be involved with the making of the show. I thought that was really, really special and cool.
I find that so touching. And in the I was thinking about how it's kind of exciting, how it was exciting that the original video game Joel and Ellie, they didn't have cameos until the last two episodes of the season. So it's kind of like, I don't know, just like what a way to kind of close the season. And like in the featurette after episode 8, where like OG Joel was in that episode, IRL. Mm-hmm. And when he's in that featurette and he's like, oh, I didn't realize that, like, how big a part I'd had. I thought I'd maybe be like a zombie, a clicker that gets killed or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, like, hold your worth higher than that. Like, but like, he really did have a big part in that episode and like had like an epic death and stuff. And then, I mean, video game Ellie's scene was like one of the most intense and probably already going to be one of the most memorable scenes of the whole season. It was really powerful. And something I was remembering too is that the actress who plays the lady who took the baby from her, Marlene is the character's name, she actually played Marlene in the video game. So it's like those two actresses had like acted scenes out together in the when they filmed the game too. So I was like, wow, what a reunion.
Oh, that's cute.
So just like really cool moments.
Very cool. And I just literally hadn't even thought that, like, for a video game that they would even like act out together or like have real people looking like the people in the game instead of just like a voiceover kind of thing.
It's pretty intense. I think that's part of why this game was so popular and like higher to, I mean, from an outside perspective of like kind of, I don't play a lot of video games like this at all. I'm more of an Animal Crossing type girly. And so yeah. Like, but they did it like almost like Avatar, where you have like the dots on you and like the motion sensor camera. So they're like acting out the scenes. It's kind of wild. Like, I would never have thought video games would ever do that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very, very cool.
Is there anything in the show that didn't work for you or that you didn't like?
It's really, really hard for me to think of any complaints. Let me think. Do you have any?
I have some from the finale that, and it kind of does go back a little bit.
Okay.
I honestly have been like kind of like blindly loving this show. And I like anytime anyone had any criticisms of it, I was like, no, that's not true. Same. For example, I was talking to some family and my aunt was like, it was after the episode when they're in Wyoming visiting, when they finally find Joel's brother. She was like, the timing did not work on that episode at all. And I was like, what are you talking about? And Joel's brother's wife, I guess, like said something about like being an attorney or something of the sort, and like her age, and like also like the child she had that died. Like, the timing is very, very tight, especially with how much time had passed and how old she was at the time. Like it was a little iffy. And so that was kind of the first time I was like, that is a little odd.
Okay.
Like, technically, you could probably talk your way around it if you're, like, going to the extreme.
Well, I think it's, like, my instinct is, like, I don't care, but this show is so meticulous with details that it seems like something they should care about.
Yes. And that is kind of where I landed, because in the finale, and I understand that I am saying this as a Salt Lake City resident, born and bred Utah girl, I'm going to be critical of them coming to Salt Lake, but we see them in episode 8 in Wyoming. And it is snowy, snow. And then they get to Salt Lake. Granted, I'm not totally sure how much time has passed, but Wyoming and Salt Lake are neighbors. Like, it's not that long to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not only not snowy or cold, but also it was the greenest green I've ever seen in my entire life. And
yes.
I just don't, Utah is, it made it look like it was a tropical oasis.
It was definitely giving rainforest.
Yes. And Utah is a desert.
Although, who's to say what's going to happen if all the humans leave? Would suddenly the Salt Lake get its water back? Yeah, that is. It looked like a paradise, you know, but not exactly.
It looked stunning.
The Salt Lake we know.
Looked better.
It looked like in Moana when she restores the heart of Tafiti.
Literally. It was just very comical to me. And it just like kind of made me think about it a little bit. Like, I do think that a little bit of like timing and like those kinds of details are maybe not as tied up as they should have been.
Mm. I think,
because I'm sure there's more too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I feel like I don't remember a lot of screens that said like 3 months later or something like that. Like, that would have been helpful if we could see that they actually rested in Wyoming or wherever for a bit or something. Or if they can, because
I feel like they would have had to be on the run because like they just murdered all those people.
Well, if they murdered them all, no one's there to chase them.
I mean,
they did leave some survivors. They left some survivors.
Still there.
But like,
and we did get like a time jump when they first got to Wyoming, when we meet that couple in that random house in
the
winter.
That is
before
true.
They get to Joel's brother.
That's
so like,
true.
If there was a time jump, they did tell us.
And the way that Ellie was acting in the beginning of this episode, it seemed like all the events of the cannibals and her having to kill that guy and stuff had like just happened. Like that seemed like it was very, very fresh for her.
Yes. I agree.
Wow, that's a great point.
Thank you.
I haven't thought of any other complaints.
I'll say my last one just so that I don't have to end on a negative note then.
Okay.
Because I have one more. I feel bad saying it. I did feel a little bit disappointed about the finale. I think I just like, I wished I would have felt it more emotionally. And I got really, I mean, I think I got tied up in the Salt Lake of it all. But I also think I got tied up in, it felt a little extra cheesy to me. And I think it was because of the clear like CGI of Salt Lake a little bit, but it was mostly the scene of Joel saving Ellie in the hospital. Like when he's like shooting all the guys, they like turn down the like gunshots so that you couldn't really hear them that much. And there was like music playing, I think. And like, I mean, some might have been in like slow-mo. It just was like too cheesy for me. And it kind of took me out of it. And I was like really kind of bummed. But everything else about it, I loved. But that scene is in particular took me out of it. By
like in the
that.
Stairwell?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that scene didn't really stick in my head at all because I think, I don't know, it was a little boring. Even though it shouldn't be boring. So that's, that's a problem. But because then I thought that when he gets into the surgery room, I felt like it was back to business, like...
Yes.
That was very intense. One of my notes was I said, Bella Ramsey's skin is distractingly amazing. When she's lying on that hospital bed, I was like, okay, what? Like,
drop your
you should have
routine
more
stat.
Acne in the post-apocalyptic world. Like, that is stressful, you know? So that was like... I don't know. Maybe it was just because, like, she didn't have blood on her face like she often does in previous episodes or something. But I was like, okay, like, you are glowing. This is... So that actually did take me out a little bit. Unless they just really cleaned her up. I mean, they would have had to if they're going to cut into her brain. But drop that skin regimen, girly, because wow. But I did...
Dirt and blood.
I don't know. Like, I think those are all valid points. And I hadn't... No, they hadn't distracted me before, like how it suddenly got cheesy. Something I was thinking about, though, about Joel, like how, when they flip roles and suddenly Ellie is like the stoic like I'm like barely talking kind of out of it one, and Joel suddenly like the talkative one. It was really, really interesting, that role reversal. And then also like him being so, so, so protective of her and like, yeah, like basically, you know, choosing to continue the apocalypse to save her. It was like, wow, this is like, I don't know. It was just so interesting because it was almost like, okay, wow, like this is the Joel in like full dad love mode. And it was like, kind of like, dude, like you're just like no brain usage, you know, like it was just kind of like, and almost, I wonder if some, the cheesiness almost like for me kind of reflected that a little bit, where it's like, this guy is just like, he's literally only using his heart and he is not using his brain and he's lying to Ellie, you know? So it was like, it was just kind of a shift. It's like, I kind of love to see it. And also kind of, I'm like, okay, Joel, you need to chill maybe just like a little bit. if that makes any sense at all. It was just like interesting to almost see him like in kind of like this, like paternal love spiral, almost blinded to all else.
I think I guess it's probably because like he literally basically died and she brought him back to life. And so maybe he like talked to some angels and
yeah,
came out of it.
Maybe
like that.
Yeah. Cause yeah, it's interesting. Cause like I feel like we see him as he starts to develop love for her as like, like, I cannot fail another young girl that I'm her father now, basically. But I've, in this, in the finale, it's like full throttle daddy. And I was like, whoa. Well,
they did a really good job at reminding us at the very beginning when it was like previously on, when he says, like, your cargo. And I was like, thank you for reminding me that he said that. Now I know that like he's going to completely flip flop on that. And you're actually the most precious gift to the world. So much so I'm going to save you from it.
I mean,
hide you from it.
I mean, like, will anyone ever say something so beautiful to me as like when she's like, time heals all wounds, and he's like, it wasn't time. I was like, wow, no one's ever going to say anything close to something as good like that to me.
Honestly, like, that is kind of something that I struggled with during it, because I'm like, not the cheese, no, the like horniness of it all, because I'm like, this is a father-daughter relationship that I'm watching, but I'm watching it as in like, I want Pedro Pascal to be my lover daddy, not daddy.
Well, he's just proving what a good partner he would be, because what a good dad.
The best dads make the best partners. That's all I've got. Anything else you want to say?
Can't wait to see Pedro and Bella nominated for Emmys. That's all.
Oh, yes.
Freaking amazing.
Agree. Oh my gosh, that'll be so cute. Whew. Do you know anything about how the next season goes or the next game?
No. I've seen some things. And now, like back when the sequel game even came out, which I don't even remember how long ago it was. It wasn't that long ago. But now I'm kind of avoiding plot points at all. I don't really want to know. There were some things that it was kind of fun. Like it was kind of exciting knowing where this was leading, that I knew that Joel was going to actually like not let them operate on her or whatever. Like, it's hard to forget that plot point of the game. There was a lot of other stuff I did not remember. And so knowing that it was going to lead there was like, made it kind of dramatic.
It helped and hurt the story, because like, there's one episode where you are left thinking that he's possibly dead. But like, if you had watched anything or knew anything about the show, you knew that he wasn't dead.
Totally.
And same thing with the finale of this show, or the same show that we've been talking about the whole time. But it's been announced that there's a season 2, and I feel like the majority of people know that that's from like Ellie's perspective. And so I already knew that even if they did operate on her, that like she was going to be okay. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of was like, it was comforting to know that like the worst thing that I could think of wasn't going to happen, but also kind of hindered the experience a little bit because I wasn't like completely shocked.
Yeah, like the stakes weren't as high.
Yeah.
But I don't really know if Joel, I mean, like, I know that the part two game is about Ellie. I don't really know where Joel falls into it. And I also know that it's a time jump. And she's more, I don't know how old she is, but she's not, like, a 14-year-old anymore. She's either, like, 20 or something like that. Like, a young adult.
I think she's, like, around the age that she actually is, like, around 18. Yeah, I basically know nothing else. I know one other thing that I won't say to protect you / our listeners. But I'm just very excited to see casting who will be in the next season.
One thing I've heard someone say about the game that was not a spoiler, but it was like, I think it follows a natural progression of all the things we've seen Ellie go through, is that like kind of this new Ellie where like she's still so much a kid and like happy, like able to find happiness and joy even amidst the apocalypse. And it seems kind of like, in the next game, she's much like kind of a harder person. And I think that you can totally see how that would happen, because clearly she doesn't fully believe Joel, you know, like how she confronts him. She's like, swear to me, you're telling the truth. And like, so she obviously has doubts about what actually happened. And probably is dealing with like survivor's guilt, where all these people close to her have died, and like the failure that she kind of was telling herself, like, oh, my purpose in life is to like help save people, and then it didn't happen, you know? So it's like, and then like the cannibal guy, scary guy of it all, that was like really loss of all any innocence she had left, you know, like all this stuff. So it's like, of course she's gonna be super messed up, you know? So that'll be interesting too.
It's very all quiet on the Western Front, actually.
It really is. Like,
very interesting.
Is there hope? Maybe not.
Like, the longer you live, the more trauma you'll have.
Yeah, exactly.
And have to deal with.
Exactly. So it's almost like, just from like the, so that's, I feel like that's basically everything I know about the sequel game. And it makes it sound like part one is like the feel good movie of the century or something. So it sounds like it just gets darker and darker, but I'm still excited, and couldn't be more intrigued and excited to watch it, basically.
Yeah, I can't wait. And wow, you just got me so excited for TV awards season to come again. It feels like it just ended, and so it's going to be a while, but
yeah, I know.
Can't wait.
We have a long time to go, but like, will it be The Last of Us versus Succession?
I kind of wish they wouldn't have announced the second season, because then it could be like a limited series.
Yeah, put it in a whole different category. That would have been a great loophole.
Wow. I'm stressed. I don't like thinking about that. I'm mad at you.
Now you know how it feels to rain on someone's parade.
I'm usually the rainer.
That's so funny that that's your reaction. I'm mad at you. Wow, that was a, no, I'm glad that was captured that on recording.
It was perfect. Okay, do I even need to ask?
I mean, should we,
the week is, because
should we just do this together?
The Pedro is the world crush, and I am okay sharing him, because he literally is perfect.
Everyone on earth wants him, somehow, in like a pure way and like a very impure way. Like, he is truly like both. The perfect man. Perfect. It defies logic. It really does.
Like, he could save you in a zombie apocalypse or take you to all the different worlds of Star Wars. But he can also, like, stand up for LGBTQ rights. And also, he's hilarious. If you haven't watched his SNL episode, it is some of the best TV I've seen in a long time from SNL. I loved it so much. And
I haven't watched his Hot Ones yet. I'm very excited to watch that. I'm a little nervous. Yes, I think it's just going to be a little too much.
Too hot. Too spicy.
Also, the fact that the most like dangerous type of crush is like a hunky guy who's also like a sweetie goofball.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he is. And so it's just like completely irresistible. Ugh. Mm-hmm.
The full package.
Truly. At least, I mean.
And it's so interesting. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it is funny too, because like, now the new season of The Mandalorian just started too. So it's like.
Have you been watching?
I watched the first one.
I've there's only two episodes out and I've only watched those two, but because that's the only two that are out. Idiot. But it is just kind of, it's weird to watch him. Like, I watched two in the same day and I was like, this is kind of weird.
It's strange. It's just, I guess it's good that he's like he has to wear that helmet all the time or whatever. But,
yeah,
it is funny. Cause like his Mandalorian voice is so different. Like it's so serious and like all one note, but Joel's voice is kind of like that too, but in a different way. Ugh, it's confused.
He talks about that in his SNL monologue about how people will ask him to do the Mandalorian voice for like their children, and he's like, it's kind of like a bedroom voice, like I feel really creepy especially doing it without the mask.
It is very and sexual. It's so funny. Oh my gosh, I just wonder, I mean, you can spoil it, does he have his helmet off in episode two?
I don't think so.
I just wonder if we'll ever get him without his helmet ever again.
No, because he like is reassigning himself to be even more Mandalorian than ever.
He's a born again Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but
wow.
Like honestly,
what a gift.
It's only March, and like he's obviously a contender for crush of the year when we choose at the end of the year. Like already,
it'll be hard to beat for sure.
Wow.
How many more Sundays till Succession? I feel like it's time we should start our countdown.
I think only two.
Two. We only have to live. We actually only have to live one more Sunday without it. There's only one lull. That's special.
Wow. How far are you in your rewatch?
I haven't finished the last episode of season one yet.
Oh, okay.
I've fallen very behind.
Well, it was a tough week because it was like Oscars week. I mean, I had to put a pause to watch all the movies and whatnot. Busy times, but I think you can do it. I just watched Boar on the Floor.
Mm. What a great episode, especially because of that blank space baby.
That blank space baby.
You know what I mean.
It's so true, though. I was thinking it the whole time. It's like Taylor did it first.
Well, thank you for listening. We hope you loved The Last of Us as much as us. And happy Succession to all who celebrate. Bye.
Bye.